Blog Talk Radio.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Greetings, everybody. Happy day. What is today? Tuesday? Yeah. Happy Tuesday, you know, Grand Rising, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Motivational Classroom with Haru the Oracle. I am Haru the Oracle. And in this Motivational Classroom session this morning, we are going to be discussing the magic of visualization. Oh, my God, right? Y'all, visualization is a very, very key factor when it comes to the law of attraction. Now, I've taught on the law of attraction a few times on this particular segment. It used to be called motivational, Grand Rising Motivation, but I changed it to Motivational Classroom. But if you go back and listen to one of the the Grand Rising Motivation segments, I think I've done a few on law of attraction. And I always tell people, when it comes to the law of attraction, there's always more to it, you know what I mean, that meets the surface. You know, The Secret is a great movie, you know, it's a great intro when it comes to the law of attraction, but when it comes to law of attraction, we have to delve deep. And a aspect of the law of attraction is the art of visualization, creative visualization, right? So what better than my homie, you know what I mean? I'm just going to speak that shit into existence because, you know, soon I will be rubbing elbows. Well, I'm already rubbing elbows with Tony Robbins, you know what I mean, and Les Brown, you know what I'm saying? You know, the guys that I looked up to, you know, are now my friends, right? You know, and that's how we speak it into existence. You know, we speak it as if it's already there, you know, and I used to like, okay, Keith, but, you know, you don't have that Corvette yet. You know, you're lying to the people. You know what I mean? When I'll make a post and be like, oh, my God, I enjoy driving my new baby, y'all. Look at my new baby. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wait a minute, Keith, you're lying. But in a sense, you know, when I look back, I was visualizing. You know what I'm saying? That was a part of me visualizing and speaking into existence as it's already there. You know, and I mean, really, guys, I enjoy driving my jet black Corvette, you know what I mean, with maroon leather grained interior. Oh, my God, you know what I'm saying? I can just close your eyes, right, and just feel it. Not only see it and visualize it, but feel it. Feel yourself driving that car, you know, whatever car that you want, you know what I'm saying, that house that you want, you know. Hire a realtor, you know what I mean, and go to the grandest part of town in your city. You know what I'm saying? And have that realtor take a picture of you in your house, you know? And you'll look up a year later, and guess what? That's going to be your house, right? So, yeah, guys, creative visualization. Visualization is a grand key when it comes to manifestation, right? I like to coin myself as the king of manifestation because, you know, guys, at one point, you know, I was a friend, you know, that, you know, would never keep his word, would never, you know, like I was terrible, right? You know, I would always stand you up. I miss appointments, all that shit. You know, early on, even in my business, I did that. You know, but I knew that I was going through that for something, right? I was like, why am I so fucking terrible? Like, oh, my God. But see, I was at the low level of not keeping my word because now today, you know what I mean, I do my best. Sometimes there are times where shit happens, you know what I mean, and it has happened on this platform in the early stages of this platform, but I made it my life. You know what I mean? To always keep my word first. You know what I'm saying? If I tell you that I'm going to do it, you know, more chances than not, it's going to get done, right? And that's the type of man, you know, one of my old bosses and mentors, you know, told me, she said, you know, your word is all you got. You know what I mean? And really, at the end of the day, it's all you got. You know what I'm saying? But needless to say, you know, we are having a human experience. And, you know, sometimes, you know, imperfection is perfection. You know what I mean? Because we're all growing. We're all learning. You know, that's no excuse, but still. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, 80% of it, you know what I mean, is always keeping your word, right? So visualization, guys, visualization, creative visualization. I wish that I can find someone. If you yourself know about vision boards, I know people are scholars with vision boards. You know what I mean? I personally love to have vision boards. I haven't had one in a couple of years. But this year, I feel that I am going to create a vision board, but it's going to be a vision board like no other, right? I want real live pictures on my vision board. And I'm going to figure out how to do it, but I want this type of vision board. But if you yourself know about vision boards, please email me, enhancedawarenessradio@gmail.com. If you know someone who knows about vision boards, vision board parties, I would love to have them on the platform so they can break it down. And, you know, I want to call this show The Art of Visualization, you know, with blah, blah, you know, whoever, right? And that's what I kind of want to call the show. So, yeah, if you yourself know about that, vision boards and all that, email me, enhancingawarenessradio@gmail.com. My private email is also there, too, assistantservices@haru@gmail.com. So either way, I'll get it. I have access to both emails. Now, how the Motivation Classroom segments work is I pretty much take notes while you guys are listening, and, you know, and we come back and we discuss the notes that I give you my takeaways. I invite people to call in, and I invite you guys to share with me also, you know what I'm saying, your takeaways. Where's my notebook? I'm going to keep it here. Okay. Okay. It's all good. We'll just use this. All right. So, yeah, I take notes, right? And when I take notes, you know, I come back and discuss my takeaways, right, with you guys. And I invite you guys to call in. A lot of you guys only call in to listen, which is great. You know, I get it. But, you know, dialogue, you know what I mean? I love dialogue, you know, guys, because that's how we learn. If you're struggling and all that, you know, that's how we learn, dialogue. Now, some of you are calling to get readings on these particular classroom shows. Now, I did do a reading for a guy yesterday, a little light reading, but this is not the show for the reading. You know what I mean? But if you want a private reading, please email me at assistantservices@haru@gmail.com. I've also listed my website. My main website is down at the moment, but I listed my backup website there for you guys so you can get a visual and get more information about my readings and what I do, okay? All right, so my intuitive energy reading page is there as well. Facebook business page is there, and also be sure that you join our group. All right. All right, so go ahead. The YouTube link is also provided there. Tony Robbins is a great, 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 great teacher and scholar. Where's my pen? All right, guys, so let's go ahead and jump into the YouTube clip. And, again, this is Tony Robbins, The Magic of Visualization. And then he has, in parentheses, The Law of Attraction. So if you want to visit the YouTube link after the broadcast, then you can do it yourself. Also, I've added a visualization article. This website that you pull this article from is a powerful website. This is a website that I use in my private reading sessions for, you know, my people to, you know, research on, right? So check out the visualization article. It is grand, all right? So what we do is play the YouTube clip, and then we'll, you know, take our notes and do all that. If you want to call in and talk to me, the area code is going to be 929-477-3423. Be sure that you guys are pressing 1 so I can see you in the caller queue, all right? All right, guys, so YouTube clip, then I'm going to play a song. We're doing Whitney today. Our rest in power, baby. Love you, Whitney. we kind of started out with Amy, but, you know, I'll do Amy tomorrow. But, yeah, Whitney today. Love Whitney. All right, so, yeah, we play a song, and then I'll come back and discuss, right? All right, guys, so Tony Robbins, The Magic of Visualization. Enjoy. This clip is about 25 minutes long. All right. Peace and love. We'll be back.
So, you know, think about it. What's the holy grail between somebody taking action or not? It's one word, certainty. When somebody is absolutely certain, they, you know, the common word is believe, right? But, you know, you can believe at a general level or you can believe with certain. When you're absolutely certain that if I do this, it's going to get that result and that result's going to change my life, you'll do it. When you think it absolutely is not going to work, you're never going to do it. The middle no man's land of maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, that's the piece that kills people, right? So if it's a must for you, you got to make it work, right? In our case, right? That's an example. If it's not a must for you and you're not sure, you don't know what to do. So years ago, I'd look around and say, okay, how do people get themselves to follow through that haven't been following through? What's the difference? And I started interviewing hundreds of people, literally, and eventually thousands, because I had thousands of my events. So I'd ask the group to give me their feedback. And I came up with this model. It's like the holy grail of belief or the holy grail of momentum. It's like the difference between what makes the rich get richer and the poor get poor, right? And the difference we all know is mindset, but like, how is that built? So this is what I did. I created stupid little four little boxes, and I'll scribble it here for you. You think about the first thing that determines whether you can do something or not, and I put that in this first box at the top here on the left side, and it's potential. Like, what's the potential of a human being? Like, when you guys started, you proved something no one had done in history. You ran the four-minute mile, right? For golly knows how many centuries, they're trying to run a four-minute mile. Roger Bannister does it. How did he do it? Do you remember? You did it in this industry, right? You made $1 million in a day. No one had ever done that in history, right? After you did it, a bunch of other guys are doing it because it became possible. Roger Bannister didn't just go physically practice. He made a shift in his head. He practiced in his head because he could never achieve it physically, so he had a change in his head first so that the result became certain enough he believed it and then his body got him through. After Roger Bannister ran that four-minute mile, within 2 years, 37 people ran a four-minute mile.
That's amazing.
And no one in history had ever done it. Now, here's how it works. The potential for anybody getting your product is extraordinary. They can do what you've done as much, more, or less. They can do whatever they want to do. The potential's there. The market's proven that. Whether or not they tap into that potential has a lot to do with what action they take, which is the question you came to me with, right? Like, you know, God, they all have potential, but they're not taking action. And we all know that the action they take is going to determine the results they get. That's pretty obvious. So most people have a belief about what their real potential is no matter what you tell them. And that affects how much action they take. And, of course, that affects the result. And then, ironically, that result reinforces their belief. And then that belief affects it. So I'll give you an example. Let's say a person has unlimited potential, we all agree. But they take little action, little results. Why? Because they have to start with a problem with their belief. They don't believe it's really going to happen for me. Maybe for Frank Kearns because he's got the cool hair and stuff, or maybe it's for you because you're so driven, but it's not me. Maybe Tony Robbins because he's a freak, got these big teeth. Whatever their thought process is, right? They got this thing, right? But what happens is if you believe that there's very little potential, how much action are you going to take?
Nothing,
little. And when you take little potential with a little action, what kind of results do you get? Lousy little results. And when you get little results, what does that do to your belief? You go, see, I told you this was a waste of time, told you this wouldn't work. And then what happens? You tap even less potential. You take even less action. You get even worse results, and your belief gets even weaker. And this sucker feeds on itself until you are in a downward spiral.
It's poisonous.
It's poisonous, and it's self-fulfilling. Now, what if something could happen that could come along and fill you with a sense of absolute certainty? Not like I believe, but I mean where you know. In you guys' case, mine as well, we knew because we had to. Because
right.
We burned the boats. There was no other option. We had to find the way. We weren't going to live that way. We all did it in different ways and for different reasons, but in essence, that was it. If you get yourself in a state of certainty that this is going to work, I'm going to find the way, and if this doesn't work, I will make the way, then you tap a lot more potential. And when you're certain in your potential, you take massive action. And when you take massive action, you really believe in something, you get great results. When you get great results, your brain goes, see, I told you I was a stud. I told you this thing would work out. Now you're even stronger. You tap more potential, take greater action, greater results. That's how you went from $300 in a week to $2,500 in 5 days to $100,000 in a month to $1 million in a day. Same thing with you. And we get momentum. That's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, some people go out and they go, well, I'm going to take a bunch of action. All right, I'm going to open this product. I'm going to try it. And they'll say to you, I even did it. But it's like a salesman who goes and knocks on the door and he knocks on 100 doors and says,
you don't want one of these, do you?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And even if he doesn't say it verbally, his face says it because he doesn't believe it's going to work. So his voice, his body, the execution is so weak Maybe if he talks to 100 people, somebody's going to buy out of pity because they don't want his kids to starve, right? But he's not going to get the result. So the core difference in people is how do you produce certainty when the world isn't giving it to you? You go out and you try and you try in your case, your 100,000 in debt, nothing's working. How do you keep yourself going? The way you did it, the way I did it, the way you're doing it, we may not have done it consciously, is we didn't change our potential. That was there. And it wasn't even taking more action. Taking more action with a belief it's not going to work, it's not going to change anything. We got results in our head that made us feel certain as if it had already happened. True or false for you?
True.
Right? So give me an example so people know I'm not just making this crap up.
Well, I mean, just like when I had nothing. I already knew I was driving like Ferraris and Porsches and stuff because I always wanted those cars. I already knew I was going to have them. It was inevitable.
Right.
That was just my inevitable outcome.
But how did you do that? Did you have a ritual? Did you think about it regularly? Was it one time you thought about it, or was it something you had an obsession towards?
I had an obsession towards it. I mean, yeah. I used to work at a video store, which is the last job I ever had in my life.
Thank God.
And I used to go to work almost every day, and I used to bring two magazines with me to read on my breaks. Entrepreneur magazine, just to read about business and everything else, and read about what other people are doing, look for role models. And I used to carry an Auto Trader with me. And I used to look at Porsches that were for sale.
Yeah.
And people always used to ask me, what are you doing with that Auto Trader magazine? I'm like, well, I'm just picking out the Porsche that I'm going to buy.
Right.
When I'm,
which probably got you a lot of crap.
I did. People made fun of me. Sure. I actually had a boss at that job tell me, you know, you really shouldn't do that to yourself, John, because it's very, very likely that that is never going to happen. That it's very likely that you're never going to have that car.
Yeah.
That's the kind of belief he was trying to put in my head. And I was like, no, you don't realize that it's inevitable
right. That
I will drive here at sometime in the near future with that car when I'm not working for you
right. And
drop movies off for you to put back on the shelf. And that actually happened. And it was one of the most fulfilling days of my entire life. And the great thing was when I pulled up in this car, I was, I was in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
A car that most mid-20s.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Porsche 911 Turbo. It was
sure.
a convertible and everything.
Sure.
It was a beautiful car. It was one I always dreamed to have. But, you know, for a few years, I always circled the ads of which ones I was going to buy. Well, when I finally got it and I pulled up at the store, you know, I had all these people, some people that were still working at this $7 an hour job were there years after I left. And I'll never forget this, even the boss and stuff, and the reaction of the people was like, wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Is that your dad's car? And all I said to them was, not exactly.
Good for
and
you.
And I just smiled and just left. But it was, you know, it's the weirdest thing, but I just knew it was going to happen.
But you knew it because
I conditioned myself
you,
to
believe. You did it over and over again.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I was not a popular kid, but I was passionate and intense, and I'll never forget. Some people give some particular girls gave me some crap and a guy too, and I wrote in their journals or their the annual yearbook at the end. I wrote someday I said you treated me like hell. Someday I'll be rich and famous and you'll be an effing truck driver, and you'll be sitting there. I'll be with this beautiful woman of my life, rich, and you'll be watching me on television thinking you wish you would have treated me better. I actually wrote this shit in people's annuals because I went to a 10-year high school reunion. But it's like I burned the bridges, baby. It's like this is how it's going to be. So I'll give you a perfect example of this. You know, they did studies, many have been done at this element, where they want to see how much does the mind affect performance. So take basketball. I've worked with a lot of NBA players and turned them around. And one of the problems many of them have is they'll choke on the free throw line. You know, well, everybody knows in that case, if you normally shoot really well and now you're not, something's interfering. Something's getting in front of your state, some uncertainty, right? Obviously. So they take a group and say, we're going to make them better. How do you make somebody better who has got this mental block? So they take a group of guys, and they're going to do free throws, and they do one group where they just practice for 6 weeks, totally intense practice, and I forget the number of free throws, but they got to do this many free throws every day. Take a second group, and they have them not practice at all. Obvious. And they take a third group, and they don't let them touch a basketball. All they do is have them practice in their mind, but the key is it's not practice makes perfect. It's perfect practice makes perfect, as corny as that sounds. So these guys see themselves making the shot every single time, conditioning their mind and body that it's perfect every time. They're not interrupted by a reality that would screw with them. So at the end of 6 weeks, they tally it up, and now they give them a test to see who has the highest free throw percentage success. What do you guess it's going to be? Well, the obvious person says, obviously, it's not the guys that didn't practice. But which one is it, the mind or is it the ones that actually practice?
I'm assuming the mind.
Yeah, you would assume it because it's true.
Right.
You intuitively know the truth, that practicing is not enough. it's getting yourself so certain so many times that now when you go to do it, there's no hesitancy and you execute. It's having that absolute certainty that makes you tap your full potential, take massive action, get massive results, be reinforced, having stronger belief. This is what makes somebody a star at anything.
It's like Jack Nicklaus, the golfer.
Yes.
He visualized every shot and where it was going, landing right where he wanted it before he ever hit it.
Every single time. And what do
every
most golfers
single
do?
Time. They just take a practice swing and they kind of hope for the best and point in the right direction and hit it.
And some of them, if they've had some bad hits, what are they really focusing on? You know,
I don't
what
want
I don't
that.
Want
to
I don't
do.
Want to, exactly, exactly.
And that's the same thing here. So I'll show you a little stupid little physical technique for this. So stand up for a second. You guys going to do it with the camera show? So try this for a second. So just put your feet together and then put your right index finger straight out in front of you like this. Okay? And all I want you to do is I want you to just turn clockwise comfortably as far as you normally turn. Just notice where you naturally stop. Go ahead and turn clockwise. People at home can do this too. Keep your feet straight. Notice where you stop. Come back around to me. Back around to me. Okay, good. Yeah, you're really good at this, right? Drop your hand. Now let's do something really simple. Close your eyes. And you don't even have to visualize, just feel. I want you to imagine your finger coming back up again. And this time, see and feel it coming up. Don't actually make it happen, but feel like it's happening. Imagine in your mind that you're actually doing it. You're seeing it, you're feeling it. And then make it like a game where you turn twice as far this time. Like you're a little kid, you know, and somebody measures you and you go, I'm taller. Come on, measure me this week. And you, that desire to do a little further. And then in your mind, do it again. Your feet are straight together. And in your mind, feel your finger coming up, see it coming up, and imagine going three times as far this time. And then one more time, bring your finger up, and you're like an owl. Your feet are straight, and you turn all the way around, and it comes all the way around to the front. See it and feel it and enjoy it each time, like it's a game, like you can't wait to go further. And you know you do every time. And when you can feel that, it feels good, then open your eyes, and now put your finger straight in front of you, and turn as far as you can comfortably and see what happens this time. Go.
Bring one back.
Now, notice, I don't know if the camera's got it, but you don't even have to ask the camera. You can ask yourselves. Come back around. Did you go further this time, yes or no?
A lot further. I think
a
I
lot
about
further.
50% further.
50% yeah, further. How much further for you?
About the same.
Yeah. The average person will go 25% further. Now, here's the question.
We're superior. We're superior pointer.
There you go.
Superior right finger pointer.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So, did you have the potential to turn as far as you did the second time the first time?
Yes.
Why didn't you?
I didn't believe it, I guess.
We have beliefs about stuff we don't even know we have beliefs. You have an unconscious belief about how far you can turn comfortably.
The first time I did it, when I pointed straight back,
yeah,
I thought I probably shouldn't even go that far, like it was going to hurt me or that
yeah.
I wasn't capable of going any farther. Like,
and how much further did you go this time? And the camera
I pointed
knows
over there.
That's exactly
over there.
Right. Now, here's the difference. The potential was there the first time, and you took action, and you got a result. But it was 50% less than what you did later on, and the only difference is I changed your belief. How did I change your belief? We didn't work harder on your potential. We didn't take more action. I got you to see the result in advance. I got to see it vividly two or three times. That's all. Of going further, and then your brain went, oh, I know what to do. Boom, it went there. Isn't that what you did by looking at your cars every single day and envisioning it? I mean, isn't that what you did when you created whatever the vision was? It was $300, $2,500, $1 million in a day.
Yeah,
that's what's missing for these people. They're not getting that execution is everything, but it doesn't happen if you don't get the psychology set of a state of total certainty. And you just change that 50% in 3 minutes worth of visualization. And
visualization
is only one technique.
Because I was like losing my balance with my eyes closed, but I was kind of like lopsided, so I got one good visualization in. The rest of the time I was like, I sure hope I don't fall down on camera with my eyes closed. It's going to look really dumb. I'm going to have to do it. So you don't even have to be good at visualization. You can still get the improvement.
So I want you to get, you know, you asked a question. What is that difference in people? This changes people's certainty. People are uncertain they're going to succeed. They want it, but they're afraid. The best way to deal with a fear is get a big enough reason that makes you have to succeed or condition yourself where you see it and feel it so often that you're certain that you just do it. That's all it really takes.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
You know, this worked. I was thinking this while you were talking about going to the
video
store.
Say it so we can hear this and we'll go.
You were talking about working in the video store and looking at the Porsches and stuff. I used to drive around in my car, you know, doing the cold calling of the credit card machines. And one way that I would avoid cold calling, the pain of like cold calling and knocking on doors and everything, would be to listen to your stuff and listen to Jim Rohn stuff. And
wow.
I would just drive around, no particular destination, just to listen to it.
Right.
And strangely, I still like to drive around. I prefer to listen to that stuff in the car for some
right.
reason.
Because it's where you got imprinted.
I guess. I mean, it's like, well, I'll just drive up and down the coast and check out the ocean, you know.
Yeah.
So I would drive around, and I would envision myself holding those types of seminars and teaching people that kind of stuff. And 3 weeks ago, I was teaching a seminar in San Diego, and I was talking about beliefs and envisioning things, and I had to stop. And I shared with the audience, I was like, you're not going to believe this, but I actually used to envision this very moment of me talking to you right now. So it really, really works. Definitely works. Makes a difference, I'd say.
I'll tell you what, I worked with Andre Agassi in 1993, I think it was. He'd been number one. He dropped to 32nd in the world. And he was literally ready to quit, with no exaggeration. His father was managing him, and he was so angry with his life. And he went through some, I think, wrist surgery at the time, and he's working on his swing. And he was dating Brooke Shields at that point. They weren't married, and not his current marriage, obviously. And so she said, you've got to come see Tony. She goes, I don't need motivation. He goes, he's not motivation, man. He's strategy. He'll show you how to make that shift in your head. So he comes. I work with a guy. In the beginning, he's saying, you know, do your magic stuff. Like, oh, yeah, great, thank you. And I said, tell me. I mean, you're going to hit a tennis ball perfectly. And I'm trying to get him in the zone to remember that time, like you visioned, where he was perfect at it. He goes, of course I have. And I get him vision over and over again. And finally, he's in the zone. He's feeling that again, right? He's seeing it, and he's feeling certain, and the swing is going perfect. And I said, how's that feel? He goes, it feels perfect. I said, but are you thinking about the swing? You're not thinking about the swing. You're not thinking about how to do it. You're just seeing the result you want so vividly that it's there. So all I did was train him how to go in that state over and over again. He won the next weekend. The second weekend, he came in second. Within 6 months, he was number one in the world again, and he gave me unbelievable credit. But all it was conditioning the mind. You did it with tape, so did I. We were just talking about this earlier, Pam and I. I used to go when I was 17 years old down in downtown Los Angeles, this place called Knight Education, K-N-I-G-H-T, like at the night. I'd save up all my money, work as a janitor, and I would get these tapes and listen to these things over and over and over again. I went there for years, and I didn't have enough money, and I leveraged everything I had, but I knew how to train my mind. It's the one thing I knew how to do. This man's name is Mario. I saw him in his 80s. You know, he obviously knows how my life turned out and was very proud of the role he played in that process. He used to tell people the story. This guy's the real thing. He didn't just start out this way. This is how Tony did it. He listened to these tapes. He conditioned himself, right? This is the real stuff. He passed away a few years ago. I'm calling his house, and he passed away, and his daughter was there, and she wanted to share with me that how I touched his life and so forth. But the best thing was, I thought, you know what? I want to get those tapes. I want to get that stuff that conditioned. You know, I want to go back to that moment like you did of, you know, that moment was visualizing, now I'm living it. And she said, he left all this in his will to you. So I have all these tapes now that are from the time when I originally went through, and like I'd go to sleep and I had these sleep tapes that conditioned my mind to believe that I could succeed even when I was sleeping, or to build energy in my body. And anybody who wants to succeed has got to know it doesn't just happen. You can buy a product, but you also, with that product, have got to condition yourself. You got to make it a must, and you got to get a ritual. And if you do it, whatever you used to dream about you thought was so huge, you'll just live it. You'll live it like you lived this yesterday, like we're all living the life that we envisioned. Because we had to, and because we played this game with our head. We got the belief to be real by seeing it enough times and feeling it enough times till our brain believed it, and then it made it happen.
Which raised the potential, which made us take more action, which got us better results, which raised our beliefs again.
That's right. And then that's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So instead of bitching about it, change it. And this is how you change it.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Completely.
It's pretty easy to change. Just that one simple exercise was amazing. I'm still like, holy crap, you know, I wonder what else I can do now.
But look what most people do. Most people do the opposite of that, right? They get the product, or they think about doing it, and what do they envision?
It not working.
That's
right. The excuses that
they envision it not working. As soon as they envision it not working, they feel uncertain. As soon as they feel uncertain, how much potential they tap? Little, if anything. Mm-hmm. And so they send back your product, and they listen to the damn thing. You know? And guess what? What does that do, by the way? They make that as another lousy result in their life. I didn't even follow through on that, and they believe even less. This process is the holy grail. It's where the whole game changes, and anybody can do it, and they can do it in a few minutes. And if they do it a few minutes each day, then they get a different life. They do it a few minutes one time, their life changes for the day. We're defined by our rituals. Everybody's got rituals, certain things they do every day. And what we three have in common, and anybody that I know of who has a life that they're living that was once a vision, is we saw it again and again and again, even when it didn't work, even when you lost $100,000, even when I'm working as a janitor, there's something we would not give up on. And if somebody watching wants to change their life, they got to decide what they won't give up on and then put themselves in the state of momentum by a couple little rituals. That's all it takes.
And I think especially when it comes to anything related to making money, like making money products or promises or courses, people are so inundated with scams and all this garbage, true garbage, that you know their natural thinking is that they're so skeptical. It's like they fall into the conditioning of, well, if anything's ever going to work, that thing has to prove it to me before I believe anything. So when they go to approach the thing to make more money with, they're like, well, I'm starting at zero, and this thing has to prove to me that it has any potential at all before I believe that it will. Don't you agree with that's the case?
Unfortunately, I agree it's the case, but here's the truth. When somebody says to me, in my business, even more, because a lot of people think I'm a motivator, I hate that term. That's never been what I've done. I do believe in energy, and I'm passionate. You know, they see 10,000 people in the room rocking. They go, oh, he's motivating them. I believe in peak state. You get a top athlete, you get in a concert, and you get in state, right? The problem is, to defend themselves so they won't be disappointed again, they lower their expectations. So someone will say to me, well, I'm skeptical or I'm pessimistic. And my response to them is, no, man, you're gutless. It takes no guts to be skeptical. You don't have to have any capacity to be a critic. And now with the web, you don't even have to own that you're the one being the critic. Eh? You can burn somebody and, you know, anonymously, right? I said, you know what? It takes guts to believe. And if you think something's going to do it for you without you putting your guts on the line, you might as well forget it right now. So this idea that I'm skeptical or they got to prove it to me, it's the biggest lie. What that really is your fear talking. You're so scared of failing, you don't even want to get your hopes up. And if you don't get your hopes up, you might say, well, what if they get their hopes up and somebody gets disappointed? How many disappointments have we experienced in our business careers and in our lives? The difference is some people take disappointment and let it destroy them. Other people take disappointment and let it drive them. And you get to choose. Are you going to turn this thing into why it didn't work and a bunch of stories and excuses, or are you going to take this thing that didn't work and figure out what are you going to do to make it work? And it may not happen the first time, the second time, the third time, but the people that are relentless find the way. And it's the common denominator in all these guys that are kind of our friends or family, money masters, you know, the new money masters, is they all did it with will. Nobody here inherited this stuff. Everybody figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And keep figuring it out. And it's going to keep changing. And you say, you know what, you know, 1% of... 99% of the money being made is being made by 1% of the people, because only 1% of the people will condition their mind and condition their body and follow through with some daily rituals. The rest will tell a story about why it didn't work, how it wasn't their fault. And you got two things in life. You got results or you got a story. You know?
And too many people think that 1% is somehow entitled to it, and they're not. Which is, you know, it's just all in the head.
It's all in the head. Which can be changed with some conditioning. Basic conditioning.
You just proved it.
Yeah.
To us.
That's fun. That's why I made Get the Edge and Personal Power, because I understood that from the very beginning. I could, originally it was 30 days, and years later people would say, yeah, I've heard all the great results and everything else, man, but you know, I don't have 30 days, and I'd be behind the glass, you know, focus group, watching these people want to shake them, like, you don't have 30 days to change your life, you know? I thought, okay, I'll make it 7 days, you know? Just one, because after 7 days, you get momentum. I mean, think about it. When do people's lives change? In a moment. It doesn't change in 10 years. Your life may have sucked for 10 years, but there's one moment when your whole life changed, the moment you decided. You said, no more, and I'm doing it, and you kicked yourself in the ass, and you made yourself go do something, right? When you finally said, enough, no more, I quit, or let's begin, or I love you, there's a moment when somebody's life changes, and that can be gotten in a couple of days. So people watching don't have to wait until they've mastered everything. They got to get started and do what's next and just put themselves in a state where they start making some progress.
There it is. I think that's the answer that can help solve that problem with a lot of people. They'll just pay attention to it. And do it.
The bottom line is, you know, all three of us and some of the people that we consider as family that are part of this process, we've all done well, and we don't need to do this stuff. We're able to do the stuff because underneath it all, people can see in your eyes, Frank, when you talk about $2,500 you made that day and the joy, right? Or you talking about not willing to settle, you know, and just, I don't care what they say. Tell me I'm going to sit here and I should lower my expectations. I'm going to be driving my car in here and they're going to be delivering a video to me. There's something inside of every human being that will make it click, that'll make it so that today is not like yesterday and tomorrow will be different forever. And that process is an emotional hook. And what I hope is people watching this stuff, maybe something in here will piss them off enough or remind them of something or say there is a plan and it isn't just luck. And if I just get my big enough why and I get a little system for conditioning myself, and if I start to feel overwhelmed, I just do one next step, and I keep learning and keep moving forward, I will get there. And if we accomplish that out of this conversation, then this conversation was kick-ass and fun, not just for us, but it'll be something that we'll be really proud of a long time. Whether that happens or not really has nothing to do with us, but whether or not people take it in as real and do something with it. I hope they will.
I think a lot of people will.
I think they will. Thanks a lot for meeting with us.
Thank you.
Your shoot here.
Yeah, go back to the next one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it.
All right, all right, all right. Greetings, 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 everybody. Welcome back, welcome back. I want to challenge all of you, you know what I'm saying, in this moment, you know, to always show the children the beauty that they possess inside. You know what I'm saying? Let's do that for Whitney. Let's carry that legacy on, you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to even go into the suffering, you know, a lot of us went through as children. But why not, you know, when we grow up, so to speak, right? And we become adults, you know what I'm saying? what are we doing for the children? Are we speaking life into the children? You know what I mean? Are we helping them to realize they are the greatest love of all? You know what I'm saying? Are we helping them to, you know, realize the beauty that they possess inside? You know, like, oh, I mean, we have to stop, slow down, and just listen real quick. You know what I'm saying? Are we really doing that, right? So on today's motivational classroom, we've been talking about the magic of visualization, all right? And that was Tony Robbins, y'all. Tony Robbins, an amazing, wonderful speaker. You know, Dwight, I am me, and let me know whenever you want to come on or if you're just listening, bro. But I do see you in the queue. But, yeah, that was Tony Robbins, you know what I'm saying? And Tony Robbins, man. Amazing guy, you know what I'm saying? You guys know he talks about everything, you know. He's talking about visualization in this piece, but he talks about finances, you know what I'm saying? Any genre, you know what I'm saying, that you need, Tony Robbins got you, you know what I'm saying? So going back to visualization, you know, one of the things that he said at the beginning was this, certainty. You know, you have to be certain. So pretty much you have to kind of know what you want, right? And you have to be certain that you're going to get it, and you have to make no excuses, right? What did he say? He said, some notes that I wrote here is like there is no do. There is no try. You know what I'm saying? There is only do, right? So, like, we have to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? By no means necessary. You know, we just have to make it happen, right? We just have to go for it, right? Make it work. There we go. That's what he said. He said, make it work, right? And you're like, well, how? Like, I got this going on. I got this going on. Oh, how am I going to make it work? Oh, my God. Ah, my life is so busy, right? No. You know, we make it work. You know what I'm saying? Does that mean that it's going to always be perfect? No. But you still know ingrained at your root, you know what I'm saying, that you want to be a motivational speaker, right? And you want to be more, right? So, you know what I'm saying? We just make it work. So what we do? We take small steps, right? And see, the small steps are truly, you know, a part of the bigger picture that's going to make it all come into fruition, right? You know what I'm saying? The small step of, you know, radio host, you know what I'm saying? Then you're booking yourself for events. Then you're starting to travel. Then you're starting to, you know, do local events. Then they're going to come national events. Then they're going to come international events. You know what I'm saying? So the more that we put into it, you know, into our work, the bigger that it becomes, see? You know what I mean? But see, at the root of it all, what do? We visualize, right, at the root that we're going to be a motivational speaker, right? And visualization is more than thought. You know what I'm saying? Some things, you know, you could, like, if you are at a place, you know what I'm saying, have somebody take a picture of you while you're on a stage. You know what I mean? And when they take a picture of you in a nice suit on a stage, make yourself a vision board. And then, you know, in the background, put yourself in a stadium in Australia or something, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, in England or something, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes to the art of visualization, we have to first understand that it is an art, right? So my brother is on the line, Dwight Jolly, bro. He's been listening. What's up, Dwight?
Peace, bro. What's going on, man? You all right?
Yeah,
well,
man.
It's beautiful, glorious
morning. Man.
Great ride.
Yes, bro. Thank you. Full of energy, man. I'm amped. So we're talking about the magic of visualization, bro. So tell me what you got on visualization. What is your perspective of the art of visualization?
Well, first of all, peace and love, beautiful souls. You know, I have to start off by saying that because my soul acknowledges you, the divine in me, recognizes the divine in you. So that's why I always start off by letting people know and acknowledging your energy. See, the power of visualization, though, is exactly what you said, bro. It's mental magic. See, it's about visualizing yourself, seeing yourself as that person that you think you are not. A lot of us get caught up in where we are in our lives, and we get caught up in the negative aspects in our lives, and those thoughts consume us. They get in the way of us being the best version of ourselves. And you have to really... It's like barriers that you have to break through. So it's like you have to tell yourself these things daily. You have to remind yourself daily of your power and visualizing yourself in that power position, seeing yourself there, seeing yourself in those places you want to be. That is the mental magic. And that what is a part of you training your brain. and it is a daily process. So, yeah, man, I like I told you earlier, man, I started following Tony Robbins early on when I started to so-called wake up, when I started to find myself, when I was in that place of solitude and shit, you know, and I was looking for, you know, like ways of, when you go to looking for other people to bring you out of certain things, it's like you start to find yourself looking at people in different ways. So when I saw Tony Robbins, man, I was listening to the dude, and I was like, you know, at first, you know, because you get to the black and white shit. So you're like, man, I know this white boy. He don't want none but some money. But when I listen to this dude speak, man, like the power in his words, man, you can tell that this dude was actually living what he was saying. And that's what makes the difference. So you have to apply these things to your life. That's what makes it visual. See, it's easier to just talk about it. But once you walk into it and you truly believe that is who you are, like, it changes your life in so many aspects. And I've been doing it. Like, I've really been visualizing myself there. I keep a card in my pocket telling me that I am the most powerful healer ever. Like, this is something that I aspire to be. So I have to visualize myself there. So that's me seeing myself in that, in every aspect. So, yeah, bro, the power of visualization, the power of changing your reality, the power of understanding that your perception is your reality. The way you see yourself is the way that you are. So you are what you think you are. So it's like you got to really be cognitive of your thoughts. And something that I tell people all the time, bro.
You breaking up on me, bro. You said cognitive. You said be cognitive of your thoughts. You broke up.
Yeah, I'll be cognitive of your thoughts. A lot of us are not even aware of how our thoughts control our reality. A lot of us get find ourselves in a place of complacency sometimes, and we get comfortable where we are, not knowing that there's always more things waiting for us. There's so much abundance waiting for us. Like, our perception of where we are can always change in a matter of seconds. I just told somebody last night, you can change your view of the world in a matter of you closing your eyes and seeing yourself in a different light. Like, that is the power of the mental magic. And it's a continuous thing. It's an ongoing thing. You have to train your mind to see yourself in these places. You have to train your mind to get rid of these negative thoughts. You have to really train yourself and check yourself every time these thoughts creep into your mind. And replace them with that positive thought, seeing yourself where you want to be. So it's very powerful, bro, the power of visualization, the power of mental magic, because our minds are matter, and they control that. So, yeah, it's very powerful, bro.
Yes, yes, absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, why you said it all in a nutshell, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned thoughts, though, because, you know, thoughts, as they say, you know, change your thoughts, change your life. Wayne Dyer, you know what I'm saying, some of his work, you know, but your thoughts are very, very key to all of this, y'all. You know what I'm saying? How many of us are waking up with these thoughts, but then the thoughts are on autopilot, but as Dwight said, we're not even aware of what we're thinking. You know what I mean? So being aware of what you're thinking, most importantly, on a subconscious level, y'all, you know, and we have to, you know, we have to rechannel those thoughts, you know, and as Dwight says, you know, we have to, you know, really believe and really know. You know what I mean? That you are that grand motivational speaker. You know what I mean? You are that, you know, grand author. You know what I mean? You are, you know. And y'all, I want all of y'all to know also, write yourself a motherfucking check. Write yourself a check.
Yeah. Now, that is another form of very powerful mental magic. Yeah, bro. I just did that for myself the other day. Like, literally, I did. Yeah. I wrote myself. Actually, I wrote myself three checks. I wrote myself one for $16,000, then I wrote myself one for $1,600, and then I wrote myself one for $700. See, I invoked the power of that 777. It was the sacred energy that I was calling on. See, once you know the power of these numbers and the power of these energies, it only enhances your mental magic because you got more tools to work with, see, as you know. So, you know, you include digital, the visualization becomes more and more powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, guys, I have included an article, you know what I'm saying, as far as the art of the creative visualization is the name of the article. And the article is great. My brother said want to jump on, too. I'm going to bring him on. But yeah, the article is creative visualization. You know what I'm saying? So be sure to check out the article, the whole website along. And the way, you know what I'm saying, you may want to check that website. Man, the website is fire, bro. And this is something, you know, like that I use for my clients in the sessions, because these articles, they simplify it. They break it down. You know what I'm saying? But they go in depth, but they simplify it. You know what I mean? So there is an article also called The Power of Thought on their website as well. So, guys, we have to be, first of all, we have to understand the universal laws, and we also have to understand the art of visualization, and we also have to understand the law of vibration. Like, we have to, like, all of, to me, Dwight, you know what I'm saying, all of these factors play a role, you know what I'm saying, in the law of attraction, right?
They do, very much so. They do.
You know, so absolutely, guys. Man, this is powerful. So my brother Said is on the line. Said, what up, though?
What's good, my brother? What's good?
That's
what
I said.
What's up, man? Great rise, my brother Dwight. Great rise, my brother.
So, Said, we're talking about visualization today. We're talking about visualization today. We're talking about visualization today, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure where you tuned in at, but we had a YouTube clip of Tony Robbins who pretty much broke down the magic of visualization. And it's funny because, you know, one of the guys that he interviewed, right, and he used, you know, visualization as far as manifesting a car, right? But
story
that he used, okay, so you were here the whole time. Great. So what is your takeaway on, you know, visualization?
Okay. I'm going to say this very, very, very confidently. If you see it, it's yours. Okay. Now, I am going to do a presentation on this. However, this is not like, you know, a secretive thing. If you see it, it's yours. The power of visualization starts within you, right? We can all agree with that. So if you can see it, it's yours. That means that one guy had a picture in his mind that he wanted that car. He didn't care what everybody else was thinking. He didn't care about what their thought process was. He wanted that car. This is the problem we have with our leadership, though. When you have leaders that don't have the power to visualize where they see their company going, their companies fail. It has nothing do with outside interference. It has everything to do with the power of visualization, just like you said. And this is probably one of the best topics when it comes to breaking yourself down, because if you can't visualize what you want, how are you telling people to do a good job or work harder or work smarter? How are you as a herbalist or how are you as a healer telling people they need to delve into this type of stuff because it's going to better themselves, but you don't do it yourself?
Wow.
You know, it's almost like you have to be the example of your visualization, but you also have to be the motivational person behind that visualization. Because if you see people visualizing, like, you want a car, you got an Audi in mind, you got this new Audi, all black, black rims, black tinted windows, that's what you want, and you got to post it in your room, guess what? That's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But if you doubt what you see, why is it there?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I agree. Absolutely. You know, but that's, I think, said what you just mentioned, that's the difference between people succeeding and people having to, you know, spend their whole life trying to do redos. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I mean, really at the end of it all, you know what I'm saying, we have to not only practice what we preach, but, you know, I like to say that everybody is still learning, but, you know, it's a higher success rate, you know what I'm saying, when you're really, truly, truly in your heart of hearts living by example. You're absolutely correct.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
100%. Because you have to be able – I think the moral to the story is this. You cannot be someone if you have a vision, okay? You cannot be someone that is mad at other people's visions. If me and Keith and Dwight have a business together, and Dwight has a picture of this big six, you know, bedroom house and everything, and you have a picture of a mansion by the water, and I have a picture of a boat and everything else, But when people come and see all three of our pictures, they're like, are all three of y'all living together? Because he has a house. He has a house by the water, and you got a boat. No, these are all our visions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are independent visions, pushing our business onto each other. Because guess what? My boat's going to be parked at his house.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to have presentations. He's going to have leadership conferences at his house. And the only way I'm going to be able to get there is by water. So guess what? I'm going to buy me a boat. And there's going to be times when we have to have a retreat and we want to go to Dwight's house. So guess what? I'm going to help him make sure that he doesn't lose that vision. Because
mm-hmm.
even if I feel like I can help him with his vision, that doesn't mean I'm going to capitalize on it. That just
mm-hmm.
means I'm going to help motivate him to get there. That's what a team spirit means. It works as a whole circle. It doesn't work
mm-hmm.
just individually. You make that person stand.
Yes.
This is your motivation. You want to go to Paris?
Say it.
We're going to make that happen, brother. We're going to make that happen. We
well,
I want
to go to Paris, Sid. I want to go to Paris. I'm telling you right now. On air. I want to go to Paris.
But we can't go
bro.
There right now. We can't go there right now. They blame, they blaming black people for rape and shit. And they got Chris Brown locked down right now.
Dang.
But we don't want to go there right now. That's
right now.
They're my
okay.
Or my coach.
But yeah, man. But you know, I love what you said though, that it's a team effort, you know what I'm saying? Because see, we're
mm-hmm.
in a society now to where everybody is like, you know, I gotta eat. You know, they're so fixed on survival. You know, they have that survival mindset, you know what I'm saying? They're chasing money, you know. I need the bag, I need, you know, money,
mm-hmm.
money, you know, how can I make more money? You know what I mean? Like it's like a fucking dog chasing his tail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you chasing? Like, at the end of
Thank
it all,
you.
You know, all you're chasing is money. You know what I'm saying?
Thank
and who
you.
Want? I know I don't want to live like that. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm ever in business with you, I'm going to let you know straight up, money is not my root.
Thank
all
you.
Right? It's not about the money. My intention is not money.
Thank you. The one thing that I always tell my people, and I'll leave with this, I always told my people, even when I retired, I said, never make your friendship about a decimal point.
I never heard that one. Oh,
yes, never make
you always dropping gems. Yeah,
I got a bunch in my pocket. No, this one applies only because you do not want your friendship based off of how much money that person has, because now you're living
mm-hmm.
through them. No, what I'm saying is that if you have a dream, and I know that you're motivated enough to get that dream, and you're showing me you're motivated enough, guess what? I'm your team player. I'm your family member. Guess what? I'm a root for your ass. I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader because
mm-hmm.
I want you to achieve that. That's the difference between a fake friend that wants to never see you elevate, always hate you. That's a dumbass idea. What are you talking about? Then somebody's going to be like,
oh, man.
Bruh, you coming in? Because they said they're going to pay us double for overtime. I know what you about to do with that bread.
Yes.
I know what you're about to do. I know you're about to put it in the savings account. I already know. It's like you can motivate people that don't want to even go through that you know, that crap of, I got to do this because if they see me doing this, then I'm going to be looking better. No, do you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you
do
things, do you. Don't be somebody else's, you know, motivation. Don't be somebody else's reason for coming to work. You do you so that when they see you doing you, they're going to help motivate you because they know that
mm-hmm.
you're striving for greatness. They know that you're motivated
mm-hmm.
to do what you're supposed to do. You're not waiting on nobody else's bag. You ain't waiting on nobody else's bag. Their bag is empty compared to what you got to fulfill it with, a visualization for the things that you need for the future. You ain't waiting.
Speak.
Just like.
And said, you know, like, and we're all doing that, you know what I'm saying, as a team.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you spent your life doing that, you know what I'm saying, because I know you're a go-getter in every way, you know what I mean? And what we're doing, you've come, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, and we're joined together as a team now. You know what I'm saying? There is so many ideas for Enhancing Awareness Radio, bro. It's like I literally had to sit down yesterday, and I literally had to write pages of the shit we got coming up. You know what I mean? And, you know, business appointments and all of this. And, bro, I'm telling you, as founder of this platform, it all started with the art of visualization.
Thank you.
I visualized this about 2 years ago. For me, it happens in twos. You know what I mean? But,
see,
you know,
you are
it happens in twos.
See, but see, you are the success story that people need to hear.
Yes.
Because when you visualize and you actually are strong about what you want and you make it happen, guess what? Mm-hmm. People need to see that. And the reason why I say that is because people are visual people. We're telling everybody to use their third eye, right? We're telling everybody to be focused in on themselves. Guess what? People need to see things happen. I don't care how you learn. You can read. You could be a better reader by sitting in the classroom and having a teacher lecture you. Or you could be like me. I'm an online person. I like to be able to grab the information and do my own research. And if I have questions, I'll talk to the, you know, the professor then. But I'm a visual learner. I need to see it. I don't need to be around a bunch of people that's all ego driven, and I know everything.
Yeah.
I need to see
it. You know, there's too many of them out there.
ain't that the truth? But you got to know how to learn, and visually you learn better because you can see it. You can actually put it on paper and see it as reference point. So that's just the thing. You know, you are a success story to that visualization.
Yes. Yeah,
come on, girl.
Yes, absolutely, bro. You know, visualization and law of attraction is too, and the vibration as well. You know what I mean? How we're vibrating. You know, and I mean, said I would boldly coin myself as king, as one of the kings of manifestation.
You
know, because and you know, bro, and I love the fact that you mentioned a team effort. You know what I'm saying? You know, we are so grateful now because we have a whole team effort and we always check on each other. You know, I'm throwing said ideas. You know what I'm saying? Said throwing me ideas. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. We work together as a spiritual family and a team, you know, for the greater picture. You know what I'm saying? Because if we try to do this individually at times, you know, and I mean, don't get, we ain't, I'm not knocking individual.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, okay, that's great. But I'm pretty sure that Tony Robbins had a team.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I know that he didn't do this by himself. And, I, you know, and when I interview him soon, right? Okay?
Right.
When I interview him soon, you know what I mean? I'm going to ask him, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you have, because, you know, the teamwork makes a dream work. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I've had my trial and error with teams, as you know. What I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, that's all still beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Because we've learned from it. We learn from it when we grow. And, like, now today, I know what a real team is. You know what I'm saying? And I feel, if I ever feel or sense my intuition, you know what I'm saying, that you are truly not a part of the team, you're out.
Thank you.
Immediately.
There is no I in team.
You know, there is no I in team. And there is no questions asked. You're ace.
No questions. Thank you. Thank you. Close
you know.
Mouth, don't get
so.
There's no I in team.
You
know.
So, But thank you for mentioning that, because that is a very, very, very key aspect when it comes to team. I mean, when it comes to visualization. You know,
you're welcome.
And just building.
Well, that's the whole thing with, I think, with you is that that's what you want. No matter how successful you are, you want to build. And at the end of the day, if you don't have a mindset that you want to create bigger and better things, not just within your expertise or within your power, you want to build it bigger for the rest of everyone else to be able to understand that this had to start from somewhere, because nobody else is doing anything but talking. This actually is movement. You are showing the movement that everybody is questioning. Well, what do we do?
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? See this right here? This is perpetual motion. This is going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You better, like I told you
Absolutely.
What I said like a couple shows ago, the wheels are already off the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And they are.
The wheels are already off the ground,
bro.
Baby. We didn't already
took
off. So.
Yeah. We done took it off. We took off. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like I was telling Cetius yesterday, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to my family, you just tell me what you need. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make sure that
Thank
shit happens.
You
know? And y'all do the same shit for me. You know what I'm saying? I told you about a song that probably need to get, you know, produced for Cetius, you know? And, you know what I mean? You did your rough draft. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we make shit happen for one another. We work together, you know what I'm saying, as a team. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not all our team members at times are going to be at their strong suits, you know what I'm saying? But that's when we, you know, love on them and console them back to life, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's really said it's art. It's, there's an art in teamwork, you know?
It is. It is.
It's a science in that shit.
It is. It is a deep science beyond that. Regardless of how people want to, you know, put their differences beside that, there is a science to that. There is a science.
Yes.
That one saying, you are only as strong as your weakest team member. So the mindset you have to have is that my team,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Mm, I like
and if
that.
You have a weak link, guess what? Your direct representation is going to be based off that weak link. If you have anything like a bad attitude, someone that has financial difficulties, and it comes out that is a weak link, guess what? That is representation of you.
Mm.
Nobody's going to see the great things you do. They're only going to comment on the bad.
Mm.
But if you have all these great things that go on, and that conversation says, okay, what's your weak link? You.
Mm-hmm.
You are the weak link because you're bringing it as manifestation that there is something weak in my problem. There's something, I mean, not my problem, in my process. There's a weak link in my team, and there's not. So you got to push that negative out right off the bat. When someone says
mm-hmm.
you are as strong as your weakest link, you're right. You're the weak link because you're bringing it up. I don't have weak links here. Our links are strong.
Thank you for that. Redirection. I love it. I love it. Absolutely,
yeah.
Man. Say. But I have to wrap it up because I have somewhere to be. But
yes.
I do want to read a poem, though. You know Robert Boyd. Matter of fact, he's one of the first people he tagged.
Yeah.
But Robert Boyd, that's my bro, man. And then we just so happen to have the same last name.
Yes.
I had sent him a picture yesterday. About you know, did you see it? The guy that was in jail, and he was, you know, it was like creative art. He had books and everything. The phone.
Oh yeah.
Now, if you guys want to know what picture we're talking about, please make sure that you're in our Facebook group. It's in the show notes. You know what I mean? Please join our Facebook group because Robert Boyd's poem is going to be listed there. But I am going to read this poem. It is kind of lengthy, but again, guys, if you want. It's powerful. Yeah, it's powerful, you know. And I was like, Robert, I was like, bro, look at this pitch. I was like, can you come up with something poetic, you know what I mean? Because I knew he was going to bring that fire, you know. And because his thing is imagery, you know what I mean? So his creative sparks come from imagery, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so men say he woke up and he was on it. So here it is. The poem is called Out of Sight, Out of Mind, Robert Boyd III. All right, so we choose to be blind that there's a prison in our mind that we ignore to look for a happy place called freedom is the key. From a broken home to the concrete walls, so many souls are lost in time that we are waiting for their spirit to be called, to be seen, to be heard, to be the black, to be the back into the into the insight of the mind to seek back the peace before we were spiritually, physically, and mentally blind. The black man image is dying by the ways of the beast. This is the least age as we are the last of its seed. There's a prison within your mind designed by the enemy within you of lives, pain, and heartache. Can you stand the rain? Can you face yourself to help a brother to save a mother? Would you ever escape? The only breakthrough is love. If you had a moment, would you take that moment to risk your fate? Some are locked away by the beast and will never get that call to come home. Forever voiceless, they don't have the key, but know that they are God within, so they will forever be free, man, say Nelson Mandela. So the key to this message, you don't have to be physically locked away to be lost in your mind. Someone is out there to help free your mind. You are never out of sight nor out of mind. Your life Your life and your existence matters. The enemy system doesn't define your freedom. It's true. It's the true love within your soul that does. So keep on living. And he does a hashtag Illuminati. Wow, that was powerful, guys. I hope I read that in the best aspect. But go and join our Facebook group, or even go to Robert Boyd III, you know what I mean, his page. Yeah, man, powerful.
Very powerful.
Yes. All right, so we got 44 minutes. Man, that 44 been on me, bro. 44, man. Say.
Yes.
Woo-woo. So we're going to end at 40. We're going to go on and wrap it up, Seth. So is there any visualization? Is there any thing that you want to just leave the audience with? For them to remember, Dwight had to go. But
something that
you want to leave
at this juncture and keep it short and everything. It's just, you know, being able to understand that visually you can make anything happen. Don't doubt yourself. And I'm gonna say just that.
Okay, you can make anything happen. Do not doubt yourself. And then, you know, what I would say is that. Where's my notes? Oh, I don't put my notes up. Oh, so, you know, I just want to leave y'all with a book. You know what I mean? I love to drop books.
There you go.
And the book is called The Success Principles. Guys, if you are speaking about entrepreneurship, you know what I'm saying? I love helping people. You know, my success rate as far as helping people be entrepreneurs is at an all-time high. You know what I'm saying? If you come through me, you're going to have your business. You know what I'm saying? But this book is one of the books that I read early on that helped me. I like to say that it's the Bible for entrepreneurship, right? And
okay.
that book is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield, right?
Okay. Okay.
The Success Principles by Jack Canfield, bro. That is the Bible to me, you know, outside of others. But Napoleon Hill also is a great author. And his book is Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, Think and Grow Rich, man, that's another Bible, you know. But those two books alone set the stage in helping me, in aiding me. To get where we are today. So that's what I want to leave you guys with. Those two books will help you in entrepreneurship. All right? So please enjoy. And please tune in tonight for we have Sasha Madeline and Candace Coleman and their father, Professor Cobber. Many of you know Professor Cobber from Hidden Colors. They are going to be speaking on – what are they going to be speaking on? They're going to be on tonight at 7:30 Central Standard Time. And, they're going to be on 7:30. I need to look and see what they're. Think and Grow Rich. Yes, Think and Grow Rich is the name of the book. And the Napoleon Hill is the author. Connie, thank you. Okay, Stand Up for Something or Fall for Anything. That's what they're doing tonight. So that's the name of the broadcast tonight. What? And they're going to be talking about Martin Luther King. You know, they're going to be honoring Dr. King, which is great. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Stand up for something or fall for anything. And I know that broadcast is going to be fire. I know they're going to bring it. So please be sure that you tune in tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central for that powerful, powerful, powerful broadcast. All right, guys. Well, peace and love. And we enjoyed. Thank you. All of you for listening, Connie, Dwight, Sad, all of y'all who may be listening online, we love you. Be sure that you're following us on blogtalkradio.com/Enhancing Awareness Radio, and also be sure that you are in our Facebook group. All right, so we're going to leave with Andre 3000, Vibrate. Until next time, guys, peace and love. Thank you.
brought you into this motherfucker in the first place. And when I say motherfucker, I do mean motherfucker. Because Mother Earth is dying, and we continue to fuck her to death. Play with your own squishy. Become the master of your own bation. And yes, God is watching you. But no need to be embarrassed. For the future is in your hands. No, the future is in your hands. Play with your own squishy. Vibrate, vibrate higher.